Oh, I'm so thankful tonight for the comfort that Jesus Christ brings us. We serve a Lord who cares about us, brings a stillness to our souls that nothing else can bring. So thankful for that. I'd like to write the title of the message on the board tonight. Written on the board, "You are the salt." I'd like to read where that was stated. In the 5th chapter of Matthew. And we'll start at the 13th verse. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." This is Jesus talking again on the Sermon of the Mount at the front end of His message. "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I'd like to think tonight a little bit about how these verses apply to us in our lives this evening. And I want to first define salt. So maybe you can help me define salt tonight. And I want to say this. I know that too much salt, which I'm probably have been guilty of too many times, isn't a good thing. But the Lord was using the example of salt as a positive. He was looking at the positive attributes of salt. And so, thinking of it in terms of that, I'd like to write on the board some positive attributes of salt. Y'all help me. What does salt do for us or for food?
Enhances the flavor.
Enhances flavor. All right, what else?
Preservative.
Pardon?
It's a preservative.
Preservative. Preservative. What else? That's an interesting one. That's good. Anything else?
Electrolyte.
What else? Anything else? See if I had anything else on here. Pardon?
In the past, parts of the world it was used for money.
It's used as for money, so it has value.
Right.
Okay. Here's one. It suppresses. Probably can't see this up here, getting this low on the board. It suppresses bitterness. Well, we're running out. We got some good ones. Salt. It enhances flavor. It is a preservative. It makes you thirsty. It's an electrolyte. It has value. It is recognized as having value. And in fact, as Brother Glenn said, used as a medium of exchange. It suppresses bitterness. And here's another one. It also balances sweetness. That looks like salt. I mean, if you use it right, that looks like a pretty good thing. But what happens if salt loses its saltiness? What about then? So if you have your salt shaker and it says salt and it's got little white things in it and there's maybe three holes on top instead of one, I like the kind that have a whole lot of holes on top. But if you have that and it's on your table, but it's lost its saltiness and there's no saltiness left, does it enhance flavor? Is it a preservative? Does it make you thirsty for more? Is it an electrolyte? No. Does it have value anymore? I mean, now it's not even salt. Does it suppress bitterness? No. Does it balance sweetness? No. So if salt loses its saltiness, then it isn't good for anything. And that's what the Lord was saying here. It's of no value anymore. If the salt has lost its savor, if you have food and food is made and it is ready to eat, food has a shelf life, even if you put salt on it as a preservative. Food has a shelf life, and if you allow the shelf life to pass by, the food is still there. It's still on the table. You can still put a label on it that says food, but it's not good for anything anymore. It's lost its value. The window of opportunity is past, and it isn't going to help anybody anymore. And at that point, the best thing to do is to throw it out. It's good for nothing, just like salt that loses its savor. And there's all kinds of examples like that we could probably come up with tonight. But the Lord said, "You're the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth." We as Christians, the Lord is saying, you all are intended to enhance the flavor of life. You're the salt of the earth. You're supposed to help keep things from going bad. You're the salt of the earth. It's supposed to help make you thirst for more of good things. It's supposed to help you when you start losing that helps you stay healthy. Salt is intended to help lift you back up. And it's always, we as Christians are supposed to provide value. We're not supposed to take away value. We're supposed to bring value. This is the Lord saying this, not me. He's the one that picked salt. He said, "I know all about salt. I created it. And it's all of these things." And salt suppresses bitterness. Have you ever put salt on a grapefruit? It completely changes the way the grapefruit tastes. It goes from this kind of almost a little bit of a bitter to almost a sweetness because you put salt on it. And we as Christians, God wants us to bring to the world something that helps suppress the bitterness that is all around us. To bring something that's helpful. It's intended to moderate. It's intended to balance out. Sometimes we can get way so far on both sides of the spectrum. And the Lord said, no, wait, you as Christians are intended to come into the world and you're intended to be the salt of the earth. That's what the Lord said. But if you've lost your savor, if you don't have the saltiness anymore, then what good is it? And further, the Lord doesn't intend for us to be placed on a shelf and not used. The Lord intends for us to be the salt of the earth and do all of these things and help other people, those that are around us, enhance the lives of other people by taking to them the attributes of Jesus Christ as manifested in our lives. So what else did he say? Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, well, it can't be hid. A city, because it has all these lights, if you put a city up on a hill, it's pretty hard to hide the city. It'd take a pretty big shade to hide a city. It said, you're not going to be able to hide a city, a light. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And he said, you, as Christians, you as disciples, as followers of Christ, you're intended to be the light of the world. Well, how would it be if you found the most beautiful lamp you've ever seen in your life? You go in and the body of the lamp is just beautifully formed. And the components of the lamp are of the highest quality. And the shade is on the shade that's on the lamp. It's a piece of art. The only problem is when you flip on the light switch, it's designed such that no light comes out. Well, what good is that lamp for? I mean, maybe you could set it on, you know, somewhere in your house and it looks good. It's pretty. And maybe it's something to be admired, but it doesn't fulfill the intended purpose of what it was designed, unless it was designed just to be pretty. But then it's like, well, I thought that was a lamp. Well, yeah, sort of. But really, it's, well, I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I thought you were supposed to be a Christian. Well, I am, but really, it's kind of the whole purpose is this other thing. No, the Lord intends us, we as Christians, to be a light to the world. Not to have all of these other things as part of our lives that restricts our light to the world. We were designed to bring forth light into the world that we live, in the darkness that's around us, that when we go out into the world and into the darkness, and the darker that it gets out there, the brighter we should shine. That's God's intended purpose of us as Christians. He doesn't want us to go into a corner and say, well, I just live unto myself. Don't look at how I live. Don't look at my life. I'm just kind of over here and it's just me and God. Well, it is you and God, but Jesus said right at the first part of his message, he said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. And people don't light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so that it gives light unto all that are in the house. Now listen how the Lord describes how our light should shine. This is what he said. Let your light... Now wait, I just noticed here. It says, let your brother's light... Is that what it said? Let your more qualified sister's light. Let people that are more spiritual than you are so shine. That's not what it says. It's personal. Let your light. Let your light so shine. Let it shine in a way that, let your light shine before men so that, let it shine in a way that other people can see your good works. Wait, did it really say that? It did. It said that they may see your good works. That's what Jesus said. Let your light shine in a way that other people can see your good, the thoughts that are in your mind that nobody else sees, that they may see what you feel but nobody recognizes. No, that's not what he said. There's a place for all of that. But there's also a place here for Christians to be a light in a way that other people can look at our lives and see good works. That's what he said here. Contrary to the thoughts of some people who would like to just live unto themselves and say, well, don't look at me. Don't look at my works. Don't use me for an example. Don't follow me. It's just me and the Lord. You have your relationship with God. Don't take any cues from me. But that's not what Jesus Christ said. I'm not saying this. That's what Jesus said. He said, you live your life so that other people that are around you, when they look at your life, they see good works. And I want to say this. What people think of you does matter. Now, I know there are some things that what they think of you, you shouldn't change your life to try to please everybody when their expectations are outside of how Christ teaches us to live. That's not what I'm saying. But some people, and it's really convenient. It would be really convenient as a Christian to be able to say, well, it doesn't matter what other people think of my life. It's just me and God, and He knows my heart, and He knows my spirit, and it really just doesn't matter what other people think. And you hear people say that sometimes. That is not Scripture. I'm reading the Red Letter Edition, King James Version, and Jesus Christ said, you let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works. That's what it says here. That they, with their eyes, may see light from your life. But then he tells us, okay, they need to see your good works, and your good works need to be manifested in a way that they go away thinking, wow, he is really something. No, that's not what it says. Live your life in a way that people see your good works so that when they see those works, it causes them to look up. You say, well, that spirit, that's not a spirit I'm acquainted with. That's not a natural way to react to things. What's going on here? What is this about? And causes people to look up and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Not me, not you, not live our lives so that we have all these good works. Well, the brother so-and-so, you know, he just really gives a lot here, and he does this, and he's an amazing person. He doesn't sleep that much, and he does this and that, and nowhere in the whole conversation is there anything to do with the type of works that cause people to glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's a challenge. And so then I think, well, so then what works is the Lord looking for? What works is the Lord interested in the world seeing? And in part, it doesn't include everything. But it strikes me this way, that He said this right on the heels of saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Did you know that people see whether these things are present or absent in your life? And when we live our lives in a way that we show mercy, we actively show mercy to somebody, and they, not just in our hearts, but they feel mercy extended to them, that's a work that the Lord wants the world to see. when we live our lives recognizing our great need before God, that we can't do it all on our own, that it isn't about what I can do, but it's about what God can do through my life, and I mourn my humanity and recognize my great need of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and live my life that way. People see that. And it causes them to look to God and think about their own life. And you can go through all of these different areas here. Jesus also said in the 7th chapter of Matthew, same Sermon on the Mount, same setting, Jesus Christ said that you'll be known by your fruit. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. He said other people will know you by your fruit that comes out of your life. And he punctuated that by saying it again in the same chapter, just a few verses later. He said it again. He said, by their fruits ye shall know them. People know us by how we act. People know you by your works. People associate you by the behaviors that we demonstrate day to day. May God help us embody these Christ-like attributes that are at the first part of this Sermon on the Mount, so that other people can see these things lived out in our lives. Because the Lord can then use that to reach people's heart. Folks, it's our turn to shine. It's our turn to be a light. It's our turn to be the salt of the earth. Back then, when he preached this message to them, none of us were there. We were a long ways from living. And it wasn't our turn to be the salt of the earth. Wasn't our turn to be the light of the world. It was these people's. But today, it's your turn. It's my turn to go out into the world and live my life in a way that can enhance the lives of people that are in trouble by the way that I live my life. To be some salt. To have something to offer, to help them not experience death, but experience life, not to fade away, but to be able to grow and flourish and have value and be worth something and thirst for more, that we would be able to give them something that would cause them to generate a hunger and thirst for righteousness. So that they might be able to be filled. The Lord wants us to have something to go out in the world to help suppress the bitterness and the trouble and the darkness that's all around us. It's my turn and it's your turn to be an ambassador for Christ. To be a representative. To be a light to the world so that I represent Christ to the world, so that when they see me, I'm living in a way that's consistent with the way that Christ taught, so that when people see me, they see Christ. That's a high calling. And I need help from the Lord to be able to do that. I'm humbled by the calling to be the salt of the earth, to be a light to the world. But it's my turn. And it's your turn. And I don't want to be a lifeless Christian. I don't want to be a Christian in name only. I don't want to profess Christianity but be like the salt shaker that says salt and it has these little white things inside, but it's lost its savor and it's really not good for anything. I don't want to disappoint the Lord in my life. And I don't want to disappoint other people when they say, "You're a Christian?" Yes, I'm a Christian. Then I want to live like a Christian. because I want to have something to offer them that would cause them to lift up their eyes to God in heaven and know where their help comes from. Let's be challenged and encouraged tonight to take the gospel to the world by living our lives in a way that accurately represents Jesus Christ. That was one of the last things He said before He ascended. He told His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we have that calling tonight as well. God is calling everyone that is here this evening to go out into the world and preach the gospel by being the salt of the earth, by being a light to the world, so that people recognize that there is a God in heaven that loves them, that wants to do something special for them in life, that wants to enhance their life and replace death with life. Let's be encouraged tonight that we have been called, and it's personal, and the Lord will walk with you and help you to be able to take something to somebody that is in trouble and in need of some salt and some light. Pray for me because I want to be true. Amen.